Can you hear me now? All right, audio's back, guys. Hello to everybody jumping on. The audio is back. There must have been a button hit, but we have sound now, so everybody should be fine. If you can hear me, please say so in the chat, because we should be good now. Oh, yes. Okay, good. Everyone's like, yes, we can hear you. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let me say hi to some people as we are getting ready here for tonight. I'm watching. Well, I'm looking for states here. Let's see, because now everyone's saying yes because of the audio. So we'll give it a moment here and see who's jumping on. Yes, thank. Okay, good. Everyone can hear me. Very happy about that. Let's see who is coming on from what state. Montana, I see. Mississippi, Arizona. God bless you. Welcome. Palmdale, California. God bless you. Hello. Seattle, God bless you. Hello, Texas. Many Texas viewers jumping on. The Bronx, New York. God bless you in the Bronx, New York. That's where I'm from. We love our viewers who are in the boroughs in New York State, our wonderful neighbors downstate. Rhode Island, God bless you in Rhode Island. Very happy to see you on. New Jersey Shore, God bless you. I see you as well. Many Texases coming on. God bless Texas. All of our Texas viewers. Louisiana, hello. God bless you. Rock Hill, South Carolina. Indiana, I see multiple Indianas coming on. Atlantic Beach, Florida. Nevada. West Virginia, I see as well. England. I just see our international audience that's coming in now. Welcome, welcome to you. Very happy to have our international audience with us tonight. I see Maine as well and Alaska. God bless you. Very happy to have you with us. Las Vegas, Ohio as well. Welcome to all of our viewers in Las Vegas and Ohio. We're very happy to have you with us as well. North Dakota, God bless you. I see those in North Dakota who are watching. Santa Rosa, California, God bless you. Very happy to have you with us. And welcome as well to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. I also see La Crosse, Wisconsin, Vermont, God bless you. York, Pennsylvania, God bless you. Vancouver in Canada, God bless you. Hello to all our Canadian viewers. Very happy to have you with us. Our neighbors in Rochester, New York, I see as well. God bless you. Thrilled to have you with us tonight. Let's see, Carson City, Nevada and Kansas as well. God bless you. Oklahoma, I see as well. God bless you as well. And hello to everybody else coming in. We're very happy to have you with us. We are going to open in prayer in just a moment. We have a lot, as usual, to get into tonight. This is going to be packed tonight. This is going to be dealing with the enemies from within, prophetically speaking, dealing with Nehemiah 4, dealing with as well conspiracies, because we are literally living right now Nehemiah 4. We are literally in this nation, in a window, in a vacuum, whatever you want to call it, that parallels to a T Nehemiah 4. And we're going to talk all about it because there's so much happening at once right now. It's wild. So what we're going to do is we're going to open up in prayer while people are still jumping on. And then we are going to prophetically get ready to rumble, because there is a lot to talk about. Esther's on the chair. Buster's in back of me sleeping. And we'll see who else stops in from the residents at Ark of Grace Sanctuary as we go forth tonight. We'll have an update for you on some of the animals at the end as well. So let's open up in prayer. Give this over to the Lord. And we will be off and running tonight. So, Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, we come before you this day. We praise you. You are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up, far above every power, principality, and might. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. We humble ourselves before you this day, Father God, asking that the pull of the flesh becomes less in our lives, so you, your will, and your power become more in our lives. Forgive us of our sins, Father. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Forgive us of every way we have sinned and fallen short. Father, we just praise you that your mercies are new every single day, that you renew your covenant with us every single day. And we acknowledge you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to the earth, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly came to the earth to die. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And Lord, we praise you, Father God, that he made an open show and spectacle of the enemy before all of creation when he said, it is finished. He said the word tetelestai, paid in full, and we were purchased and redeemed and reconciled back to you. He literally descended into the underworld, took the keys from death, defeated hell, death, and the grave, miraculously rose again, ascended back into heaven to be seated victoriously at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is the name above all names, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our advocate without ceasing before your throne. And we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence in, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, into this place, Father God. We are welcoming you in, Father, in the Holy Spirit to have your way. Let your powerful presence just saturate the atmosphere, Father God. Let your power and authority mightily go forth. Let your power tangibly go forth, Father God, that people feel tangibly your presence, Father, as they're watching, that the Holy Spirit would go forth and be the counselor, that the conviction of the Lord would go forth, Father God, to draw people back onto you, Father. Lord, we just ask you would go before us tonight, be our front and rear guard, fill us with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. Father, order my words, Father God, as we go forth tonight, and order the steps of our team, Father, as we go forth in you. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Allow me and our team, Father, the humble privilege of being vessels of your power, Father. Lord, we just praise you and we thank you, Father God, and we ask that you dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions, Father, right now to surround the skies, the land, above and below, to guard against every dimensional access point, Father God. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we take authority over every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, hindrance, interference, violence, slander, intimidation, bullying, threats, sorcery, spells, incantations, witchcraft, and any form of weaponized demonic activity. We command in the name of Jesus Christ it be destroyed, dismantled, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, rendered powerless, and their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans. And in the name of Jesus Christ, it be cast back to the areas you have designated for such, Lord, to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return, nor have anything sent in its place. Father, take all the glory for yourself, Lord. Father, you are the potter. We most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith. Every breath we take is because of you. You are Yahweh. You are the breath, Father God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Your word says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Father, you are holy. You are righteous. We say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, Father God. Lord, we just praise you and we thank you for tonight, Lord. We give this over to you. Take all the glory for yourself in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to those of you jumping on. I want to tell you to just pray because while I was praying, I heard the name Jenny Weaver. And so I don't know what's going on, but I'm just going to ask you to intercede and pray because I heard it clearly in my spirit. Something's happening. So please just intercede and pray for that. If you could share this broadcast as well, like and subscribe, we would very much appreciate it. It does help us greatly. And we appreciate our viewers doing that for us. Welcome to those of you who were jumping on during prayer. We're officially 1 week out from Christmas. So we're 1 week out. The march is on. And so we're just going to continue to go forth and do what we do. I did have a couple things to tell you at the beginning before we got into the teaching tonight. There's two people that I want to thank. The first one is Mary Ellen Landy. Mary Ellen sent me this beautiful drink cup because I'm constantly drinking Poland Springs bottles and you can hear the crinkling in the microphone. So she sent me this beautiful, this beautiful water container that I am using tonight. So Mary Ellen, thank you so much for that gift. We very much appreciate it. And then there's quite a bit in here, guys. There's quite a bit. Amy Myers Amy, this is beautiful. It is from, if you want to buy this for somebody, Blessing Box. That's what it's called. A Blessing Box by thy-name.com. And they have beautiful little gifts in here. There's a journal. There's a beautiful mug. There is a beautiful wooden cross as well. There is a steadfast 1 Corinthians 15:58 candle as well. And so thank you so much for this beautiful gift. We will be using it and putting it to good use. There's all sorts of goodies in here as well. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Amy and Mary Ellen. We very much appreciate the blessing. So I just wanted to thank those two viewers that took such, took the time to do that. So thank you, thank you. We so appreciate it. Also, Tuesday night, Chris and I were at the UN. We were actually at the Jewish Museum. We were invited by the ambassador, the UN ambassador from Israel, Danny Danon, and his advisors. We were invited to their Hanukkah celebration. So this is Aviv. He's one of Danny Danon's, Ambassador Danon's advisors. And so we saw Aviv there. My husband is growing a beard. He's going Duck Dynasty on me, and I don't know how I feel about it. I'm being honest, guys. I'm not sure how I feel. I'm praying it through. Let me just put it that way. I am praying it through what my feelings about this. But it was a wonderful celebration. We were honored to be invited. I met Ambassador Mike Waltz briefly as well, who's the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., as well as the man that is the head of the Jewish Museum. He was lovely as well. And when I always go there, I either get to minister or pray or walk around and pray. So it's like the Lord sends me in on a mission, basically. And so I think that's why the door is open for me to go down there, in order for me to go down there and witness and be salt and be light. You know, Daniel was sent into these situations. Obadiah was sent into these situations. We are sent many times into situations that maybe are more corrupt or maybe are not the most ideal in order to bring the presence of God and to bring the agenda of Almighty God into those situations. So it was a lovely time. And once again, I thank Ambassador Danny Danon in his office for inviting us. It was lovely. Okay, now let's get started, because right off the bat, we'll get into Nehemiah 4 with this, but we have to talk about everything going on, including Dan Bongino resigning from the FBI. The Epstein files are due to come out in 2 days. You've got all sorts of other craziness with Candace Owens going on. This is all happening at once. The conspiracy, the plots, the attempted derailments. We are all watching this unfold real time. So let's start. I want to start by saying this at first, though, because I just happened to see this on a whim. Mike Winger, many of you know who he is. He is asking people to pray and intercede and call their congressmen and women, because there is allegedly a large-scale Christmas Day attack planned on Christian villages in Nigeria. So please intercede and pray that these plots are thwarted and dismantled, and our Christian brothers and sisters in Nigeria are protected. And if you can contact your congressmen and women about it, please do. But those are our brothers and sisters across the globe, and we really, really need to intercede and pray for their safety right now, because the disciples of darkness and those who want to serve their father, the devil, want to try and destroy this time and shed innocent blood. So please just intercede and pray for that. I wanted to say that right off the bat. Okay, so let's get into first everything that's happening. Because when I tell you Nehemiah 4, we are watching unfold before our very eyes, and we're going to get into the whole thing. I'm not kidding. It is running parallel almost to a T. Wait till you see this. Some of this is going to blow your mind when you begin to see the parallels here. But Dan Bongino, okay, first and foremost out of the gate, announced yesterday, I believe it was, that he's resigning from the FBI. We actually did a short about this, that by January, he will not be working at the FBI anymore. And so this comes just days prior to the deadline for the Epstein files to be released. Dan Bongino's resignation literally comes, the announcement, within days of the Epstein files being released. And so we have an article here just to show you quickly, because there's some interesting things about this I want to point out. MSN is reporting this as well, that the Epstein files basically have to be released by Friday. And so Friday is 12/19/2025, December 19th, 2025. By the way, the date the Epstein files are coming out happens to have 9/11 in the date. You have the one from the 12 and you have the 19, 9/11. I don't think it's a coincidence that the date it is due to be released has 9/11 in the date. And Dan Bongino's resignation is coming on the heels of this. Whether it's connected or not, there's some sort of timeline happening here, because this happened yesterday, his resignation, and now just days later, this is due to come out. So I would just intercede and pray that there is no large-scale prefabricated event that purposely is detonated on Friday to try to take control of the news cycle, to try to drown out the fact that these files are being released. On top of this, you have a New Year's Eve terror plot that was exposed and thwarted, that it would have caused mass destruction across Los Angeles. They were going to plant five devices, I believe, and detonate them on New Year's Eve in Los Angeles. Isn't that interesting? That's No Kings country, right? That's where they were having all the No Kings protests. And that's where these crazy Islamists were going to plant these devices. And Pam Bondi, Attorney General Pam Bondi, said it would have caused mass devastation. So praise God. Continue to pray and intercede, because these are being exposed. They are being thwarted. On top of this, you have Venezuela being surrounded right now by the U.S. Navy, that and causing a blockade of their oil tankers. So we have that happening, as well as designating, I guess, the Maduro regime in assisting with terroristic activities against the United States of America. So you have that happening. You have the Conservative Party saturated in fights, conspiracies, and deception. Christian comedian John Crist, I don't know if many of you know who he is. I hope you do. He's actually quite funny. But John Crist recently came out after attending Tucker Carlson's Christmas party. And he was there as an eyewitness. And he said, Turning Point, Candace Owens, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and a bunch of others were all at the party together, and all were allegedly friendly with each other. That the fights we're seeing online, many of them are fake. They are pomp and circumstance. They are not real. They are meant to manipulate audiences to get views. They are meant to be clickbait. They are prefabricated. He came out talking about this, which means if this is true, the conservative online space has been saturated by manipulation, conspiracy, and deception, which means it's a counterfeit at this point. It's clickbait. It's telenovelas. It's not real. I have warned, I'm not saying all of them are not real, but many of them are not real. It's a counterfeit. I have warned of this, and I'm going to warn it again. Candace Owens and others are going down rabbit holes that they think are rabbit holes, but really are snake pits. And they are not properly equipped spiritually, emotionally, for what is down there. Resisting without submitting is nothing more than rebellion. First, it's submit to God, then resist the devil, and then he'll flee from you. So resisting without submitting is nothing more than rebellion. If you go after what the enemy deems as his property, when you are not fully submitted to the Lord, nor are you called to do such, nor are you spiritually equipped to fight the interdimensional war you will face, it's going to cost people like Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, and others. It's going to cost them because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. They are going into enemy territory without the correct armor, without the correct spiritual legal rights, and potentially without the correct vision. When someone, and I will say this because I've seen this go rampant across the Conservative Party recently, when someone has soul wounds of rejection and abandonment from a parent or family member that they have not fully dealt with, they have a hard time seeing where the boundary is. And they are quick to accuse and start dumpster fires and gaslight out of their own wounds that traumatic events are triggering, and they revert back to destructive behaviors. This behavior is now rampant across the conservative space. If they violate spiritual laws and break and enter on what the enemy deems as his property, the enemy can make a case to go after their lives. This is very, very serious, and I'm sounding the alarm on this because they are walking into enemy territory without submitting fully to the Lord first. Yes, some theories will prove to be true. Some will prove to be just fables. However, rabbit holes seem innocent. They seem shallow when truly they are deep, dark, narrow, and serpents occupy the depths. Serpents are silent killers. They move up without making noise and strike. This is why Paul tells us in Scripture to be sober-minded and vigilant. We just can't see with our natural eyes. We have to see with our spiritual eyes. And in Nehemiah chapter 4, they kept trying to goad Nehemiah and the people into a fight as well. And the people and the response that was, this is what they put forth as a response. We are too busy building to be goaded into a fight. We're gonna equip ourselves to protect ourselves, but we're too busy building to come down there to your nonsense and fight with you. That was their stance in Nehemiah 4. Also, we have Muslim brotherhoods and colonies in this nation that are looking to take over the Western Front and make it bow to Ishmael. We have Mamdani taking over New York City in January. You have the global infitada outcry going out with all these global attacks that we've just seen. We are seeing in this nation and globally more attacks clustered than we have seen in a while. The enemy is within the walls. The breaches of prior rebellion has made routes of access that have now become hubs and fortresses for which the enemy can create strongholds. The enemy is within the walls now. We're not fighting an enemy outside the walls anymore. The enemy has now infiltrated and come in. Now we're dealing with an enemy from within. What are we as the church and the people of Almighty God supposed to do? What prophetic time is it? How do we equip ourselves for this? How do we look at this? Well, Nehemiah chapter 4 is what we are watching unfold before us. This is a time to build for the people of God. We have a window to build, to expand territory, to advance the kingdom. It's building under pressure. It's building under threat. It's building knowing if Almighty God is with you and has purposed you and commissioned you, the gates of hell cannot stop you as long as you are submitted to do the work. We must build and repair the breach under infiltration, under threat, knowing the threats don't have standing. If Almighty God has ratified this time for his people to raise from the rubble, to raise from the desolations, a standard in this time, taking territory back the enemy and infiltrators have occupied, but were never ratified to keep. So in Nehemiah 4, verses, we're going to start at verse 1, and we're going to go through all of Nehemiah 4. So this is Nehemiah 4. I believe we're going to start at verses 1 through, I think we're going to start at 1 through 4 or 1 through 8 to start, and then we'll go from there. And it says, Nehemiah 4, but when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious, completely enraged, and he ridiculed the Jews. He spoke before his brothers in the army of Samaria, "What are these feeble Jews doing?" You see what he's calling them? He's calling them feeble. The enemy is always going to try to put a label on you that you are not, to get you to agree with something to make it a reality that he can use. Can they restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish in a day? Can they revive the stones from the heaps of dust and rubbish, even the ones that have been burned? Verse 3, now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, even what they are building, if a fox should get up on it, he would break down their stone wall. What they're saying and trying to speak into this is they're building something weak. They're building something that can't stand, that can't last. This is the type of verbiage you're seeing Sanballat and Tobiah right off the bat use. And they were in Nehemiah 2, Sanballat and Tobiah were first deeply disturbed when they heard a man wanted to help the people of Jerusalem. And then they went to work using scorn and intimidation to prevent the work from starting. That was all Nehemiah 2. And they go through this stop work order. And they end up employing mockery and discouragement to attack them. They use sarcasm, mockery, discouragement. They mock the Jews. They called them feeble. They said, anything you build, even if a fox goes on it, it's just going to fall apart. And this was their tactic to try to stop the work. Now, when the enemy is trying to get you to stop the work you're doing is a danger to his kingdom. When he's trying to get you to stop work, it's because what you are doing is a danger to his kingdom. And a lying, discouraging attack will often have some truth in it, but it will neglect the great truth that God was with them and he had promised to see them through. And the enemy will always, always use a shred of truth and attach it to a bomb of a lie as a manipulative tactic to get you to accept the lie as truth, because it's attached to a little shred of truth thrown in there to attempt to validate the whole. This is how the enemy gets man to believe and agree with things that are lies, to attempt to make them true, so then he can get through that gate and utilize that. He takes the little bit of truth, he attaches it to the whole lot of lie, and he tries to get you to validate the whole lot of lie by the little bit of truth. And discouragement is such a powerful weapon because it is somewhat the opposite of faith. In fact, discouragement in the spirit is a constrictor. It's meant to constrict and limit faith. Where faith believes God and his love and promises, discouragement looks for and believes the worst and tends to pretty much forget about what God is and what he has promised to do. So discouragement gets you into doubt. And now putting on, what happens is once you come into doubt, now you are putting on a trial through your emotions what Almighty God has said is true. So once you get into doubt, your emotions then put whatever it is on trial that Almighty God has said is true, but now you're taking what he said is true and you're putting it on trial. You see, Satan is a legalist. He doesn't want you to take his words and tactics and put them on trial and measure them against God's word. What Satan desires to do is manipulate you to get you to take what Almighty God, the name above all names, has told you and try to get you to put that on trial instead with your emotions and flesh as the jurors. By the way, those are terrible jurors to have. So when the enemy wants to get you to question God and what God says, he tries to get you to put what God has said on trial, where your emotions and your flesh are the jurors. And those are terrible jurors to have. Those are jurors the enemy wants in the seats of your life. Going on in Nehemiah. Now, Tobiah who's one of the enemies here from within, makes a huge mistake. He calls it their Stonewall. So from what we read, if a fox should get up on it, he would break down their Stonewall. So he makes a huge mistake there, because it wasn't their wall at all. It was Almighty God's. He was criticizing God's wall and God's work. So now Tobiah, the enemy from within, is criticizing the work of the Lord, because it was really God's wall. It wasn't their wall. And Tobiah, under the enemy's influence, was taking the command the Lord had given to rebuild the wall, the Lord had ordained to be built, and criticizing and insulting the Lord's work. And that is a tactic the enemy will use to attempt to belittle in the eyes of the faithful the work of God and try to make it look far less than it really is, to get you to abandon the work. Now, when this occurs, pride is always present. When this occurs, pride is always present. In the book of Job, chapter 41, verse 34, it says, "He looks on everything that is high without terror. He is monarch over all the sons of pride." That is Leviathan that is being spoken about in Job 41. When these tactics are present, Leviathan is involved somehow, because he is the king. He is the monarch over the sons of pride. Now, Nehemiah 4, verse 4. "And Nehemiah prayed, 'Hear, O our God, how we are despised. Return their taunts on their own heads. Give them up as prey in a land of captivity. Do not forgive their wrongdoing, and do not let their sin be wiped out before you, for they have offended the builders and provoked you.'" Do not let their sin be wiped out before you. He's asking God to judge them. This is what Nehemiah is asking for. He's asking for a judgment to come down from the throne of God. "For they have offended the builders and provoked you, Lord." So he's making a case before God that, Lord, they have provoked you. They might have offended us, but they have provoked you. Offending the builders of the Lord's work provokes the Lord to move against the offender. Verse 6, "So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a heart to work." Heart posture matters when you are in a hostile environment. The people had a heart to work. Heart posture in the middle of a situation like we are in this nation, it matters. If your heart posture is correct, it's going to be way more difficult for the enemy to pull you off of your mark. This is what the church needs right now, a heart to work. It didn't matter the enemies. When it came to Nehemiah 4, Almighty God and his commission mattered more. The enemies shouldn't matter more than the commission Almighty God has given us in this nation. Verse 7, "But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites," we'll get into them in a minute, "heard that the repair of the walls of Jerusalem went on and that breaches were being closed, they were very angry." Verse 8, "They all conspired together to come into fight against Jerusalem and to cause a disturbance in it." Breaches are weak areas. They are areas where the enemy can break through and attack, where those areas are now being closed up. So when a breach is open, the enemy can utilize it to attack. But when it begins to be closed up, that is a gate of access that now is being closed off to the enemy. And the enemy will always get angry, always, when the ways of access he has been utilizing for his purposes are recognized as breaches and then closed off. The enemy will get stirred up and look for a way to stop the work so his legal access points remain intact. He doesn't want breaches closed. He will bring an outcry when breaches start to be closed in a nation, because those are ways of legal access for him that he has been freely using. And all of a sudden now, the breaches start to get closed, and all of a sudden you see an outcry and an uproar in the nation. It's because Satan's legal points of access are getting closed off. Now, Nehemiah 4:7 and 4:8. I'm going to reread it for a specific reason. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the repair of the wall of Jerusalem went on and that breaches were being closed, they were very angry. That's Nehemiah 4:7. And we are in the 47th presidency right now. And what is happening? As the breaches are being closed in this nation, as things begin to be dealt with, you are watching the outcry from these peoples that have infiltrated and are now within. You're watching that go out. And verse 8, right? 4:8, which is interesting. Nehemiah 4:8 and the 48th presidency is coming in 2028. They all conspired together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to cause a disturbance in it. So then they all banded together in order to try to cause such a disturbance that it stopped the nation. That is what they're going to try to do with the 48th presidency. You're going to see all of them band together. All of them from different faiths, different religions, different parties, different, and they're all going to conspire together to come to fight as one against this nation and to try to cause a disturbance in it. That's what the No Kings protest was about also. It was trying to begin to band all of them together to cause a disturbance in the nation. Now, you have Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ashdodites, all involved in this plot. The Ashdodites were a part of the Philistines. Palestine means Philistine. The Ashdodites were Philistines. Palestine means Philistine. You don't think it's the same enemy? You don't think we're dealing with the same enemy as Nehemiah 4? We are. We are literally dealing with the same enemies that Nehemiah dealt with, but in a modern day setting. The Arabs are mentioned, right? We're dealing with that right now, right? We're dealing with Muslim communities also in this nation that are rising up to try to attempt to take over. You're dealing with the Ashdodites, who were from Philistines, from the Philistines, and Palestine means Philistine. You're dealing with the same enemies, just in a modern day setting. And verse 8, Nehemiah 4:8, they all conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause a disturbance in it. Conspire and disturb. Conspire and disturb. They conspired to cause a disturbance in the land. What are we watching unfold? We are watching not only these very things unfold in this nation, we are watching it unfold globally right now. We are watching stop work orders on a global scale attempting to be done against the people of God, just like in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 2 to chapter 4. You've got a man right now in Ireland. If you can find the news article for me while I'm talking, that would be wonderful. You've got a man by the name of Enoch Burke in Ireland right now that they are putting in jail because he at school did not want to call a student a they, them. Do you know what's interesting in scripture? Many times demons refer to themselves as they or them. I'm just saying, it's something interesting to point out. But many times in scripture, demons will refer to themselves as a group, as a they, as a them. You'll see it in areas of scripture. That's not the only time they, them is used, of course. But I'm saying, very interesting. But this man, Enoch Burke, in Ireland, they're putting him in jail because he initially would not use the pronouns. I don't know if we can find an article with Enoch in it. Okay, thank you. They're looking for an article now. The man's name is Enoch. What more proof do we need of the sign of the times? Enoch walked on the earth at a time where there was not only great wickedness, but the watchers, who were the angels that were supposed to protect humanity, went to Mount Hermon, 200 of them, made a pact to have relations with earthly women, and began an enormous corrupted race of people. And Enoch was righteous, and he walked in a time of great wickedness and persecution. And this man in Ireland, his name prophetically is Enoch for a reason. It's a sign of the times. It's the sign of Nehemiah. It's the sign of the stop work orders that are coming out. It's the sign of the banding together in order to try to persecute the people of God and attempt to stop them from building in the window that God has given us in this time to see his purposes through. This is happening globally. Pray for this man. Pray for this man. His name is Enoch. He was named Enoch by Almighty God because it's a sign of the times. It's a sign of the watchers. It's a sign of the corruption. It's a sign of it. And this is all happening at once. All of it. So we have to understand that we are dealing with enemies from within. And it's a matter of how we're going to deal with and fight that. It's a matter of how we're going to look at this, deal with it, and fight with this. What do we see happening right now? Conspiracy and disturbance all over globally. You see it in the Conservative Party, this pattern of conspire, disturbance. You see this pattern with conservative podcasters. You see this conspiracy and disturbance pattern has dominated that area with what happened in Washington, D.C. the eve before Thanksgiving with the National Guard. Conspiracy, disturbance. When the National Guard was attacked the eve before Thanksgiving, it was a conspiracy that was formed to cause a disturbance the eve before Thanksgiving. The enemy wants to attack on grounds where he can pull you away from blessing God, being grateful, praising the Lord, and actually try to put you in an area dominated by chaos. This is his MO. He wants to attack on grounds to take away the voice of the people of God, blessing the Lord, praising the Lord, being grateful to the Lord, worshiping the Lord. That is why you saw that on the eve before Thanksgiving. This is why we watched as Hanukkah began, the Festival of Lights, and you know, within a week and a half of Christmas, we watched unfold December 7th to the 14th, these global attacks, including in this nation, one after the other, because it's disturbance, it's conspiracy, disturbance. I'm telling you prophetically, we are dealing with Nehemiah 4. You have the foreign corrupt, the enemies of the children of God, that in this nation, breaches are being closed because they have been utilizing them for years and decades. So now you have the foreign corrupt enemies from within angry at the children of God, angry in the nation that breaches are being closed because they have been utilizing them for years and decades. They all conspired together. A banded network of corrupt individuals from different nations banded together against Nehemiah, including the Arabs and the Philistines, also known as Palestine, to all come fight together and cause a disturbance in the land. And we are actively watching this same thing unfold. Think about this. The No Kings protest, the pro-Palestinian protests, the terrorist plots being unearthed. The DOJ and FBI just thwarted this massive New Year's Eve terrorist plot in Los Angeles that would have been devastating had it not been caught. And I would not be surprised at all if Newsom had intel on it and purposely looked the other way. These things are coming one after the other because the breaches are being closed and repaired, and the enemy knows it. This is coming one after the other because God has given us an order to work in this time, to build it now, to take the territory now, to expand the territory now, to expand the kingdom now. We've been given a window to do this, and the enemy knows it. And we're marching, and we're dealing with the breaches, and we're repairing, and we're building, and the enemy hates it. So what is he going to do? He's going to go find dark disciples to band together from different groups to conspire and then cause a disturbance in the land. These things are coming one after the other because the breaches are being closed and repaired, and the enemy knows it. They were bringing the war to home turf, the outsiders in the land, the enemies from within, the foreigners in the land were bringing the war to the home turf of the people of God. They did not want to see anything be rebuilt, repaired, or functioning because the enemies from within and the foreigners in the land were strengthened while everyone else was oppressed. In Nehemiah, as long as they were oppressed, the foreigners in the land prospered. That is why also they did not want to see them built. Because if they built up and repaired the breach and dealt with the issues, they were going to begin to prosper to the detriment of the foreigners in the land. Now, Nehemiah and the people had two choices. Let Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites, the Philistines, the Palestinians, stop their work, distract them, and steamroll them. Or they had another choice. Armor up, buckle up, stand up in the legal ratification they had from the throne of God to work and defend and continue the work. That was their option. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, 9-1-1. 9-1-1. But we prayed to our God, and because of them, we set up a guard against them day and night. Then the leaders of Judah said, the strength of the burden bearers is failing, and there is much rubble. We ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. Verse 11, our enemy said, they will not know or see us until we are among them. Kill them and put a stop work order. They will not know or see us until we are among them. Kill them and put a stop work order. Verse 12, when the Jews who lived near them came, they said to us 10 times repeatedly, from every place you turn, they will come up against us. Look at these verses in Nehemiah 4, verses 9 through 11, 9-1-1. But we prayed to our God, and because of them, we set up a guard against them day and night. That's verse 9. Verse 11, they will not know or see us until we are among them. Kill them and put a stop work order. That was the enemy. Look at the drastic parallel between these two. Verse 9 is Nehemiah talking. But we prayed to our God, and because of them, meaning the enemy, we set up a guard against them day and night. So they didn't just pray. They prayed and they set up a physical guard. They did both. Verse 11 is the enemy, saying they will not know or see us until we are among them, kill them, and put a stop to their work. So the strategy that Nehemiah had, continuous prayer to Almighty God and setting up a guard against the enemy day and night, that is spiritual and in the natural. A spiritual guard of prayer and intercession day and night, and actual guards and fighting men day and night. It's a twofold strategy that has to be done together. This is why I keep publicly calling for the DOJ to create a Department of Spiritual Warfare and Strategy, because you need the twofold strategy that Nehemiah put forth to defeat the enemy from within the walls. You want to defeat the enemy that's within the walls now? You have to employ the twofold strategy that Nehemiah employed. Now, in verse 11, when the enemy says, they will not know or see us until we are among them, kill them and put a stop to their work. Until we are among them, we will infiltrate them, assimilate as one of their own, so they will not know our true motive or identity. And once we are among them, then we will kill them and put a stop work order. We have watched that happen in this nation. They were able to infiltrate. They were able to come in. They were able to act like they were assimilating. They were able to flood across our borders. They were able to act like they were here for other reasons. They were concealing their true motive and identity. And once they were among us, you see the uprisings. You see them attempting to put a stop work order, even all the way up to the presidency. This is exactly what we are watching here in the nation occur. In Australia, at Bondi Beach, Brown University, which looks like a massive cover-up at this point. In Europe, at Christmas markets, we're going to get among them. We're going to assimilate. And then we're going to rise up and we're going to destroy them and stop their work. This is the hallmark of terror globally. We will infiltrate. We will make it look like we are assimilating to their ways. And once we are among them, then we will rise up and destroy them. And we're going to stop their work so we can take over. All Islamic terrorists, young people being radicalized by the transgender agenda, by the pro-Palestinian agenda, literally blending in, trying to assimilate initially, being radicalized, and once radicalized and within the walls and among them, rise up and are committing the most heinous acts. This goes back to Nehemiah 4. Infiltrate, assimilate. That is their strategy. Infiltrate, assimilate. And then rise up and attack. That's why I believe in Nehemiah chapter 4, those verses 9 through 11, 9-1-1, is the alarm for us. It's the strategy for us. It's the warning for us. That is an alarm that needs to be sounded in the nation. Nehemiah 4, verses 9 through 11. Nehemiah 4, verses 13 through 14. So I stationed armed men behind the wall in the lowest places at the open positions, and I stationed the people and families with their swords, spears, and bows. When I saw their fear, verse 14, this is Nehemiah talking, I stood and said to the nobles and officials and the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and with courage from him, fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and for your homes. When I saw their fear. That's how verse 14 starts. The strategy that Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites, that strategy of infiltration and then detonation, there was a breach spiritually in the people, and fear came in. And it was so prevalent that Nehemiah saw it. When I saw their fear. Before the enemy can steal, kill, and destroy on a mass scale, he has to find a way to infiltrate mass fear, which puts people in their flesh, suffocates their faith, takes them out of a sound mind, and now elevates as a demigod the plans of the enemy. Nehemiah doesn't beat around the bush. He directly addresses this at its root and says, "Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and with courage from him, fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and for your homes." He is purposefully transitioning their minds from how great the enemy is and the fear that's been instilled, and putting them back in the mindset of how great and awesome their God is. For the enemy to take large territories in nations, he first has to change the mindset of the people to open a gate to the territory in the natural. Nehemiah recognized what was happening and immediately moved to close off the breach that the enemy was exploiting. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 15 through 20. "Now, when our enemies heard that we knew about their plot against us and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each one to his work. From that day on, half of my servants carried on the work, while the other half held the spears, shields, bows, and breastplates, and the captains were behind the whole house of Judah. Those who were rebuilding the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that everyone worked with one hand and held a weapon with the other. Every builder had his sword secured at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet stood at my side." The trumpet was to summon the troops because there was danger. Verse 19, "I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated on the wall, far from one another. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, gather to us there. Our God will fight for us." So everyone worked and held a weapon at their side. This is how we should be carrying on our days and work for the Lord, always having our spiritual weapons at our side and being trained in them that we can pull them out in a moment and effectively disarm the enemy. In Nehemiah's case, they had spears, shields, bows, breastplates. And if you look at it spiritually, the breastplate of righteousness that guards the heart, the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Verse 18, "Every builder had his sword secured at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the trumpet to summon the troops stood at my side." Because when the trumpet sounded, it was a call to be alert. It was a call to battle. It was a call that the enemy was approaching. Who is the trumpet right now in the nation? Who is sounding the alarm and getting the nation to be alert? Well, one of them that the Lord is utilizing is President Trump. One of them the Lord is utilizing is President Trump. No, he's not perfect, and we can't expect him to be because we're not perfect. And some things he's doing, yes, his own party has issue with it, but that doesn't mean the Lord is not utilizing him in other areas. He's a work in progress, just like all of us. And he needs prayer because he needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit for what's coming and nearing the 2-year mark. If he's filled, he will see their plot for removal coming and be able, with the wisdom of Almighty God, to pivot and avoid a crisis. So you need to pray for him. You need to pray for him. You need to pray for his discernment right now as well with what's happening around him. You need to be praying for him that the wiles and the schemings of the devil are found out and removed. You need to pray that the wiles and the schemings of the devil are found out and removed. You don't have to agree with somebody fully to pray for them. You don't just pray for people you agree with. However, we have to pay attention to the spiritual alarms that are sounding, the warnings that the enemy is rearing up for a strike. There are warnings. We are watching them happen. We are watching what's moving about globally. We're watching alarms being sounded. We're watching President Trump sound the alarm. Just like Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites were announcing and making it clear they wanted to infiltrate and take down the work Nehemiah was doing for the Lord, we have to be aware we are dealing with a very ancient enemy operating in a modern day parameter and world. The same enemy that stirred Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ashdodites, and the Ammonites is the same enemy we're dealing with now. Remember again, I'm going to say it. The Ashdodites were part of the Philistines. Palestine means Philistine. It's the same enemy. It's the same ancient enemy that is operating in a modern day world. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 21 through 23. So we carried on with the work, with half of them holding spears from dawn until the stars came out. And that time I also said to the people, let each man with his servant spend the night inside Jerusalem, so that they may serve as a guard for us at night and laborer during the day. So neither I, my brothers, relatives, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us took off our clothes. Each took his weapon to the water, because they were always prepared, being sober-minded and vigilant to engage. That's what he was saying. They were constantly prepared for battle. They would not let down their guard in that temperature. The environment and the time required discipline, vigilance, and alertness. Nehemiah didn't say to the people, he didn't get all the people together and say, oh, don't worry about your weapons. Don't worry about what the enemy is doing. Don't worry about the enemy infiltrating. Just do whatever you want, because God has it covered. God is in control. You don't have to do anything. Nehemiah didn't say that. That is a lie from hell, that we don't have a part of discipline and obedience to play in the Lord advancing us, in the Lord helping us defend against our enemies. We have a role of obedience and discipline to play in that. It can't be God's got it. Ultimately, God is in control. But what did he say? Behold, I've given unto you the power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, against all the power of the enemy, so nothing shall by any means hurt us. Behold, I have given unto you the power. We have it through Christ. We actually have to use it. And this lie that gets perpetrated, oh, don't worry about it, God's got it, that is a prophet of Ahab mentality. And it's in the prophetic movement way, way, way too much. 1 Kings 22 is where that account is. And you have way too much prophesying to the corrupt, or way too much prophesying, oh, go, the Lord is going to give you the victory. Sometimes that's good. Other times, giving people a positive message that does not align with the temperature of what's happening can get people ensnared and lead to their demise. In the prophetic, you got to be able to read the room. You got to be able to discern the sign of the times. It did with King Ahab. He had this company of prophets, and they said, when he brought them forth about going into battle, go, for the Lord will surely give you the victory. A God he wasn't even serving. Ahab wasn't even serving God, but blaspheming him, worshiping Baal, sounded positive. Go and the Lord will give you the victory. It was a setup to kill him. Micaiah, a single lone prophet of the Lord, is called to the king's court and asked about Ahab going into battle. And you know what his answer was initially? He mocked them. He went, oh, go, God will give you the victory. And Ahab said, didn't I tell you to tell me the truth? And he says, I saw Israel scattered like sheep without a shepherd. I saw before the throne of God, Almighty God, holding court on how he was going to kill you. This is what Micaiah is telling the king. Not a very positive, comforting message, but if Ahab had heeded it, his life would have been spared. Instead, Ahab looks at everybody in the room and goes, "See, I told you he never says anything good. I told you he never says anything good or positive." Well, that's not what prophets are supposed to do. At least that's not what we, you know, are wired. You know, we're wired the way we're wired for a reason. Had Ahab heeded the more harsh message, he would have lived. Instead, he wanted his ears tickled with the more positive message, and he was killed. So the question is, do you want a more positive message that's not true but makes you feel good, but will lead you to your demise? Or do you want maybe a more stern but true message that could actually spare your life? I'm telling you, the landscape is going to change in the church because business as usual will not cut it in this environment. Nehemiah understood this principle. Micaiah, the prophet of the Lord, understood this principle. And we need to understand this as well. The Lord just doesn't give positive cotton candy messages, neither did Christ. He would be a terrible father and king if that's all he did. He is actually attempting to equip a church that wants to stay on Celebration Avenue instead of understanding we have turned onto, you actually have to defend your territory street that intersects with because the enemy has infiltrated Avenue. I'm going to say that again. Because of the temperature we're in the country. The Lord is actually attempting to equip a church that wants to stay on Celebration Avenue instead of understanding we have turned onto, you actually have to defend your territory street that intersects with because the enemy has infiltrated Avenue. Sometimes when you are too busy celebrating instead of watching, you miss the signs that the enemy is even coming. No, they had instructions they had to heed. Yes, they were told, do not fear. So, you know, they had instructions that they had to heed in this. Nehemiah was given instructions that he had to heed in this. They were told, do not fear, for the Lord will fight for you. However, they were also told, take up your weapons and armor, be alert, be sober-minded, listen for the sound of the trumpet. Even if you go to get water, take your weapon. Do not put it down. It's no time to celebrate. It's time to build and defend with the joy of the Lord as our strength. This is not a time to put your weapons down and to celebrate when the enemy has infiltrated now from within and the enemy is within the walls. It's a time to build, repair the breaches, and defend the territory that God has given us to defend after the rubble that and the ruin that has been caused in this nation by decades of corrupt decisions, corrupt governments, corrupt groups, a corrupt political system, a broken two-party system. And we have a chance to repair the breach, actually build, advance territory with the joy of the Lord being our strength, but understanding the temperature and the environment that we are in. When you hear the sound of the trumpet, look up and be alert. If you go even to get water, take your weapon. Do not go around. What Nehemiah was saying to the people, do not go around in this environment unarmed. Do not walk around at ease and unarmed when enemies have infiltrated from within. Guard your heart, guard your mind, take your weapons. This is what Nehemiah was telling them and giving them instructions on how to deal with an enemy that not only had infiltrated but wanted to quietly come up on them and then attack and destroy them. The Lord is calling the Nehemiahs, the Zerubbabels, the Calebs, the Joshuas, the Micaiahs, the ones who are willing to stand in the truth of God and move forth even if the majority stands against it. even if the majority stands against it, even if they see as what you say as unconventional and doesn't understand it, because they are too spiritually immature and blind to properly read the room. The Lord is looking for these people. The Lord is looking for this in his people. He is looking for the Nehemiahs, the Zerubbabels, who are the righteous governors in the land. That's who he's looking for too. He's looking for the righteous governors because he's about to drop a plumb line in this nation on the governors in this land, and some of them are about to fall in such scandal. And I'm not just talking about Minnesota. That is the beginning of the domino effect that is going to go across the nation because the governors have come before the throne of God to be judged. And the Lord is looking for the Zerubbabels, and he's looking for the Calebs and Joshuas to look at the 10 spies and say, we can go in and take the land because the Lord has given us the victory. He's looking for Calebs and Joshuas to understand the ratification of covenant and the ratification when God gives an order from heaven that when you are ratified to go in and take the land, it doesn't matter if the giants are in the land, if the Philistines are in the land. It doesn't matter if the Amalekites are in the land. Because you have been ratified and legally authorized from the throne of God to take it. He's looking for the Micaiahs, the prophets of the Lord that are willing to stand up and give the sterner messages that just don't sound lovely to the ears, but will save somebody's life, but will instruct someone and turn them off the road of perdition, that will shake a nation awake, that will spare a nation from disaster. He's looking for the Micaiahs right now to speak up amidst the company of Ahab's prophets. This is what the Lord is looking for. This is who he's raising up in a time that he has authorized and ratified for us to build. And we're building and we're taking territory while enemies have infiltrated and are within the walls. And are trying to plot every day harm to this nation, harm to the people of God, persecution. I will tell you, the butchers of the Congo and the butchers of Nigeria that want to hunt the people of God as prey will have an enemy raised up against them within the land that Almighty God raises up and spurs them on. And the hunter will become the hunted. And you will hear of this in Nigeria, and you will hear of this in the Congo, that an enemy has been raised up against the Islamists and now is hunting them. Because Almighty God is set to move and judge from his throne on this matter. Because the global temperature has been turned up. Because the enemy has very serious pockets of interest and territory in South America, in Europe, in Africa, that he is on the verge of losing, that he is in danger of losing. And right now, the breaches are getting repaired, the blockades are going forth. And this is why you're watching one attack after the other. Because he's trying to war on the grounds of terror to keep his territories. He's attempting to do it in this nation. He's attempting to do it through those that infiltrated, assimilated, were radicalized, were raised up as disciples of destruction, to take prey, to shed innocent blood, to power altars in the nation, because what the enemy is trying to do is open a gate spiritually in this nation to go after, to try to take prey from the high offices in the land. He's after the governors. He's after those in the cabinet. He's after the high offices. He's after the president and the vice president. He's after the heads of the DOJ. He's trying to open gates spiritually to be able to get ratified to go and try to attack the higher offices and the governors. This is why you're going to see such a stark plumb line be dropped in this time. This is why right out the gate in January, you're going to see shock. I'm telling you now, a shock to the nation in January, an absolute shock. Because he's warring on ground spiritually and coming into the natural. If the DOJ is only dealing with the natural and they're not dealing with the spiritual, he is running around thinking he is ratified and authorized and no one's stopping him because it's all focused on the natural. Nehemiah took a twofold response to deal with the enemies from within. And I believe our leaders have to do the same. They have to do a twofold response to this, and they have to sound the trumpet and sound the alarm, and the church has to wake up to the fact that when you're too busy celebrating, that's when the enemy will launch a sneak attack. That's when he's coming. You know how David recovered his wives and his possessions and everything at Ziklag? You know how David recovered it? He waited till they were all celebrating. He waited till the band of raiders was all celebrating. And they were not aware. And they were relaxed. And they weren't on guard. And that's when he attacked. See, the enemy operates the same way. If everyone's too busy celebrating and resting on their laurels because Donald Trump is in office, the enemy seems a prime opportunity to attack. No one's alert. No one's sober-minded. No one's watching. So you have to understand the temperature you're in. We celebrated in November 2024. We need to do the work. We need to get to work. We need to build in this season. We need to be alert. We need to walk around always armed with our spiritual weapons. We need to be sober-minded and alert. We need to understand the enemies have infiltrated and are behind the walls now. We need to understand enemies have infiltrated in the conservative party. And they want to sneak up on it so they can kill it and destroy it. It's the same strategy that Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ashdodites had. What you see happening in the Conservative Party is the same strategy they had that they utilized. And you're watching it play out in a very similar manner in the Conservative Party. You've allowed them to come in. You've allowed them to infiltrate. You've allowed them to assimilate. And now they're going to sneak up on the whole party and try to kill it for the midterms in 2026. The window of Nehemiah 4 is going to the midterms. I'm telling you now. And this is why we need to pray. And this is why we have to intercede. And we have to understand on the prophetic time clock where we are at. Yes, our God is great. Yes, he is victorious. Yes, he gives us the victory. We have to do the work. We have to be willing to do the work. We have to be willing to work under pressure, to work under fire, to work under threat of persecution. We have to be willing to do that. The church has been too cushy for far too long on these things, and it's about time we understand the spiritual temperature and environment we are in. We can still praise the Lord, and we can still have the joy of the Lord, but we can also kick some spiritual butt while we do it. It's about time. Nehemiah understood this, and he rallied the people. Micaiah understood this. Caleb and Joshua understood this. Zerubbabel understood this. We need to understand this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. These notes will go up on the blog as well on arcofgrace.org, so you can have them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I wanted to give you a few updates as we are winding down. I could keep going. I honestly could. I could just keep preaching for another hour and be totally fine. Praise the Lord. And thank you once again for this, because it's been quite useful, except when I drink out of it, like water. I have to get used to drinking out of this. I just have to get used to it. That's all. So I want to give you updates on some of the animals, because people have been asking for updates on Poppy and Grace. Poppy is doing amazing. We'll do an update video soon, but she's doing amazing. We just increased her feed. The doctors at Cornell said we can increase her feed a bit. She's very happy. She's getting really good care. The vet saw her, said she looks great. So praise God. Thank you all who have helped with Poppy, who have blessed us to help with her medical bills. It is a huge blessing to us, as well as Grace. Grace is doing amazing. She's on medical turnout. She is no longer wearing the belly band in her stall, and she's coming home to Ark of Grace the middle of January. We'll say the 13th to the 18th. She's coming home the middle of January back to Ark of Grace, and Grace will be back with us as well. An update on Charlotte, though. Our horse Charlotte, she was the Amish cart horse that was severely abused. Charlotte will be going to the medical barn at the beginning of January. Charlotte has a very serious problem with her legs that she needs prayer for. She was severely abused by the Amish, and we have been managing the issue, but with the cold and New York and you know, it gets a little slippery. I had a long talk with Dr. Hunter, and we felt it was best to send Charlotte to the medical barn for the winter to try to better manage her condition, and give her, a happier, life right now, because she won't be on any hills. She'll be on flat ground. She'll have, a huge, stall as well. And so basically Charlotte will be going to the medical barn. The medical barn does, cost quite a bit, but they do amazing 24-hour care there. And then we will bring her home, hopefully, in the spring. So please pray for Charlotte, because the condition, we are praying against it, because they're saying it's progressive. So just pray. We'll give you more updates as she moves, and we will film it when we take her over to the medical barn. But we're doing that just in order to make sure she has the best care that we can possibly give her. Also, our newsletter and social media handles we're going to put up for all of you. Okay. Rumble, YouTube, TikTok, Telegram, Truth Social is all Ark of Grace Ministries. Facebook is Ark of Grace Ministry with a Y. Instagram is Ark of Grace 88. X at Amanda Grace _ AOG. We have our own Ark of Grace app in the App Store. If you search Ark of Grace in your App Store, you'll see the dove with the olive branch as well. We are on pray.com. You can search Amanda Grace on pray.com. We're there as well. And we're on Tuesdays and Thursdays as well on pray.com in the mornings. Also, our newsletter sign up, it is free. So when you go to arcofgrace.org, the very front page that you see, there are two buttons on the front page. And so we're going to bring it up and show you in a moment here, because, well, I think it's good if we kind of just give you a little tutorial here. So if you go to the homepage here, you have two buttons. You have make a donation and you have newsletter sign up. Newsletter sign up, when you click on it, it's free. You can sign up. You can put your name, your email, your phone number. We do text blasts as well. And so we would love to be able to keep in touch with you. And our team puts out an incredible newsletter that's free, so you can keep up on all the happenings at Ark of Grace Ministry and Ark of Grace Sanctuary. So we just wanted to tell you about that, so you can sign up for our newsletter. And we just have a couple more things to put up before we end. Givaderm is having their amazing sale, their biggest holiday sale of the year. So you can actually get a free eye cream with a facial addition system. You can get a free Tighten Your Assets when you buy a Motherlode kit. I will tell you, I use these products every day, and they are absolutely amazing. They are all natural. They are food for your face. You can combine it with promo code ARC10 to save even more. So you could go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners, find Givaderm. This sale is still going on. It makes an amazing gift. Because they are, these ladies not only love the Lord, but they have created an incredible product that is actually healthy for your face and for your skin. They also have an incredible body cream as well. And we have as well Switch with Amanda Grace. So we use incredible products at the sanctuary to clean and to keep up the sanctuary because the animals, hi Cyrus, are very sensitive to cleaning products. These products are non-toxic. They are absolutely incredible. And all of our animals, from the parrots to the sheep to the dogs, they all respond well to them. The proceeds go to Ark of Grace Sanctuary. So you could go to switchwithamandagrace.com to learn more. Toby's now down too. I will tell you, if it goes past 7 o'clock, the broadcast, Eastern Standard Time, Toby comes downstairs looking for his mother. It's just something that goes on. So Toby, Cyrus, Buster, and now Esther. Hi. You want to come say hi? You want to come up? You going to come up and say hi before we end? Come on. Come on, big boy. Come say hi to everyone. Oh, yes. Hang on. Mommy loves you too. Yes, you're going to come up there. We have to finish the live, honey. We have to finish the live. Okay. I know, they're so cute. They like to come in, and we love having them in, and our viewers love seeing them. So we don't mind them actually stopping in at all. It's like a cameo. It's like them coming and saying hello. So we are going to begin to wrap this up for the evening, and we will be putting out shorts the rest of the week. So please look for those on all our platforms, and we will be back live on Monday. So that is the next time we will be live. We will announce the time as usual. So thank you everyone for joining us. God bless you. Keep the faith. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6. Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. Also Ephesians 1:16-20 and 3:14-19. I hear my husband coming. So you'll all get to see his beard now. I say those scriptures every single day. We want to encourage you in the word, as well as Matthew 6. Chris, I hear an echo.
Oh, sorry.
You want to come say hi? You just got to pause it. We're closing out here.
Yeah. Sorry.
Here he is. We'll take a poll. We'll see what the viewers think. Yeah.
Beard or not.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Oh, but
Yeah.
I'm messy right now, though.
That's okay. All right.
Hi, people.
Mm-hmm.
Love you. Okay. All of you.
And there was Chris's cameo for the night. All right. Now we're really going to close out, I promise. So Missy's in here as well now. Everybody's in here. It's getting a little crowded. So thank you for joining us. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. We love you. Keep the faith. And we will be back on live on Monday, everyone. God bless. Hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here. Could your health issues be caused by an invisible enemy? Fatigue, bloating, brain fog? What if parasites are the real culprit? Did you know that 60 million Americans apparently have parasites? They are everywhere, our food, our water, and they even can afflict our pets. They can wreak havoc on your gut, energy levels, and even your brain. And the mainstream medical system doesn't want you to think about this because one great cleanse can potentially change your life. The Wellness Company has a solution for you. Ivermectin and Mebendazole, the FDA-approved parasite solutions, are now combined into one cleanse combo. Just fill out a brief medical intake form to get a 3-month supply. Maha is officially here, and the Wellness Company is making these hard-to-get medications digitally accessible so you can live your best life. Contact the Wellness Company today by going to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and use promo code GRACE to save $60 off plus free shipping.